Now, we're going to open our Bibles this morning. And we will be starting in Psalm 92 to begin with. Before we read even one verse today, I'm going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee for Thy goodness, thanking Thee for this precious book. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy holy word that Thou hast bestowed upon us. Oh, what a gift it is that we can learn of Thee, that we can learn of Thy plan of salvation, that we can learn of Thy goodness, Thy long-suffering, and Thy patience towards Thy people. We ask, Lord, that Thou would inspire each of us here this day, O God, that Thou would inspire us to be as much like Thee as we possibly can be. We pray, Lord, that Thou would refine us and perfect us by the power of Thy Holy Ghost, move upon Thy people in a mighty way. We ask, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power, knowing full well that Thou art sovereign and that there is no name greater than that mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that our minds would be firmly fixed on Thee, that our focus would be entirely on Thee here this day. We ask, O God, that Thou would touch us, O Lord, in a mighty way. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's quite a world we live in right now, isn't it? What a year. You know, people thought last year was bad. Well, 2020 has turned out to be something else. No one saw any of this coming. And I thought, you know, someone pointed out on Facebook a while back, this friend of mine who posts things occasionally, he mentioned that, you know, at the beginning of the year, they had all of these prophecy conferences, you know, where these prophets got together and they were proclaiming good things for the year 2020, and not a one of them saw coronavirus coming. Isn't that strange? But this has been quite a year. You look around at everything that's happening, of course, even before the coronavirus thing, there was the locusts, which when you hear of these massive swarms of locusts coming in and decimating entire fields in 30 seconds, that calls to mind biblical imagery, doesn't it? But then the virus came, and that changed our world. It changed our world in ways we never expected, and we don't even really fully understand the full ramifications of everything that has happened, but we know that the economy is in trouble, people have lost their businesses, and I wrote about that extensively in the newsletter, the June issue. If you haven't received a copy yet, we have some out front, and if you're on the mailing list, you'll get it that way too. We're planning to mail it tomorrow. But you know, the economy is terrible, and they're saying it's reminiscent of the Great Depression now because you have people who are struggling just to feed their families. They have to go to food pantries, wait in lines for miles and miles in New York City. Some of them are 20 blocks long. And we see all of these things happening, and they say the virus is still out there. And they say, actually, Wisconsin right now is a hot spot. So that's not exactly pleasant. I will say, though, one thing I've noticed, that the Dodge County Health Authority, they put out a little chart several times a week with the cases and how many people were tested, how many people have recovered. And one thing I am thankful for, it seems like people have been recovering quickly, but they did have 35 new cases over the weekend here in Dodge County and in the Beaver Dam area. So yes, we need to be careful in that regard too, but I know the Lord can protect His people. Yet we see all of these things happening, and people think, well, okay, what's next? What next? People just ask sometimes, and I've heard people say, it feels like we're living in the book of Revelation. And what is really surprising about that statement is it's coming from people who aren't even God-fearing Christians. And yet they're starting to think, what is going on in this world? Well, and then we heard about what happened over in Minnesota, how that police officer basically murdered a man, and that was completely unjustified. There was absolutely no reason for it. That was a terrible and tragic thing. The officer has been arrested and charged with murder, as he should have been. And I hope his accomplices, the fellow police officers, will also be charged, because there was absolutely no reason for what happened to happen. And I know that most police officers aren't like that. And there are some very good cops out there, and we're thankful for them. But, you know, it was a terrible thing that happened in Minnesota. And these things happen far too often, but what we're seeing now is chaos. They are rioting in the streets all over the country. And I saw a report this morning from USA Today, and the mayor of Minneapolis, this St. Paul there, they got the Twin Cities. I think this was the Minneapolis mayor. He said that a lot of these people coming in aren't even from Minnesota. They are outside agitators. They're anarchists. And they go out and they break windows, they throw Molotov cocktails, they set things on fire, they love torching police cars. And it's spread all over the place. You know, Los Angeles, it's been bad. And people have all of this pent-up anger and rage anyway because of the coronavirus. So people are already on edge. But they were protesting in Milwaukee yesterday, and not just protesting, but rioting. And then in Madison, and I watched some footage of that. And it was really, actually, I couldn't believe it. You know, they're showing this footage of people on State Street, you know, rioting. And for some reason, you know, they had these big, big flower pots, big planters in the middle of State Street. You can't drive a car on State Street. Most of you probably know that, but people from around here anyway. You can't drive a car on State Street. You have to walk. It's pedestrian only, or I think you can ride a bike. But they have these big planters in the middle of the road with some flowers in it, and these protesters were coming along, and they were tipping them over, you know, and trying to dump them out, and they were really struggling to do it. They must be heavy. So the four or five guys just tipping these things over. What is the point of that? What is that going to prove? Absolutely nothing. That's you just end up with a pile of dirt in the road. But you see all of this happening, and this country is in trouble. Everyone's on edge. And these riots, now it's one thing if you want to peacefully protest. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, you're guaranteed the right to do that if you want to in this country. But the rioting, that solves nothing. The destruction of property, and people have died already in these riots. So, yeah, over in Oakland, there's some security officers who got shot. One of them died, and someone just came along and shot him. And you see, that's the sort of thing that's happening in this country right now. I was talking to Don earlier before the service, and he mentioned, you know, that the Bible talks about in the last days, the end of the world, the earth would be filled with violence. And, you know, he's right about that. The scriptures do say that, and right now we are seeing the earth filled with violence. But it gets worse from there, too. Right now, you look at what's happening with China and the American government, and I don't know if it's ever been this tense before. They call it the relations between the two countries are in terrible, terrible shape. Of course, China is rising up, and they're threatening to attack Taiwan now. They've got new rules in Hong Kong overthrowing the freedoms that have been in place there for a long time and are supposed to be there at least until 2047. Isn't that strange, too, you know, in Hong Kong, and they guarantee freedom for 50 years. And then after that, they have to be assimilated into the full Chinese culture. Of course, the Hong Kong people don't like that, and they've been protesting. They were protesting before the pandemic, and I'm sure it's going to start up in full force again now. But what is happening with China could very easily lead to war. And, of course, Donald Trump and the government in the United States are angry at how China lied about the severity of the virus. And they did. I covered that in a newsletter a couple months ago. They lied very much about the severity of it. They kept saying that it wasn't transmissible to humans, even as it was spreading to other countries already. So they were lying through their teeth, downplaying it. and destroying virus samples, suppressing doctors who were trying to warn people. It was a bad thing that they did. And then, of course, they locked all of the people down, and governments around the world followed their lead. But now there is so much animosity between the two countries, it could lead to war. We don't know what will happen. But you know, despite everything that is happening in this world, there's something that we can do. Something that is vitally important. Yes, the world is in trouble. Very much so. But what is the appropriate thing to do? Even as we see this world struggling so much. Well, we should do what we've always done. We should do what is always appropriate. And that is, praise the Lord. I'm putting a title on this message today. We're calling this message, A Good Thing. And I think we need to talk about good things when you consider everything that's happening in the world. So let's talk about one of the best things you can do. Let's look at Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Now I like this. This is a good thing. We all want good things, right? And we don't necessarily need material things, but this is a wonderful thing that we can do each and every day. You don't have to be rich to do it. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be powerful. But anyone and everyone can worship the Lord. And you can do it in the morning. You can do it in the afternoon. You can do it at night. You can do it when you wake up. You can do it as you're falling asleep. It is a wonderful thing to worship the Lord, to sing His praises. Yes, that is something that each and every one of us need to do. And that's something we've been doing here today. And as I said earlier, the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. If you want to feel the presence of God, you need to praise and worship Him. And when you do, His Spirit will come. And you will feel His presence, and that will give you strength. You will draw strength from His presence and from His Spirit. Verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. People look around at the world and say, oh, there's so much trouble. Look at everything that has happened. But you know what? You're still here. You got up this morning. Most of us probably ate breakfast. I didn't, because I never do on Sundays. But, you know, we have food in our refrigerators. We have a roof over our heads. And the Lord has already brought us through so much. He's not going to forsake His people right now. He doesn't forsake His people ever. And we've had many triumphs. You know, I was actually very excited on Thursday. I had a doctor's appointment in Madison, which is unusual, you know, the way they do things now. It's not typical anymore. Everything is different. You go in there and they take your temperature right away as you're walking through the door. And my wife usually comes in with me and waits, but they actually suggested she wait in the car, which she did, but she had to wait a long time, too. But, you know, they brought me in there. Of course, they do their little interrogation. Have you been exposed to anyone with coronavirus and so forth? Do you have fever, a headache, a loss of smell or taste? All these questions, you know. And no, I'm fine. But I had this doctor's appointment, and, of course, and you have to wear a mask, too, which is interesting at a doctor's office when they're touching your face anyway. But I had to wear this mask, and I went in there, and of course they, at the beginning, the assistant there, she always checks my vision, and one thing she noticed right away, she said, "Oh, your left eye is better this time than it was last time." And of course, that's the eye that has been giving me the most trouble. But then they went and they took pictures, and it's a long process. They take a lot of pictures and they inject dye so they can get better pictures, and it's very cold going in too. They just injected it right into my hand here. They found that vein. I had a nurse there tell me once that I have good veins, which really surprised her, because a lot of times diabetics don't, but she really appreciated that, and it made it her job easier. But anyway, they took all these pictures, and then I had to wait a little while to see my doctor, and he looks at the pictures, and he comes to talk to me, and he says, well, first he showed me a picture from January. He said, these are your eyes in January, and you can see that you have all of these bad blood vessels that shouldn't be there. And then he showed me the pictures that were just taken, and he said, those bad blood vessels are completely gone. They are gone. So that was really an amazing thing. And what was really amazing about this is there's improvement in both of my eyes. Now, in January, he lasered my right eye, which is supposed to help with that issue. And, of course, they've been doing injections as well. But my left eye got better, too, and he never got to laser that one because of coronavirus. It was supposed to happen in March, and it never did. And I was wondering if maybe he would do it, but he looked at the pictures and he said, well, he said, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe your left eye needs to be lasered someday, but it doesn't need it today. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. You know, it got better without any lasering. So that is a wonderful thing. The Lord does help His people. And the doctor actually said, I'm going to leave this up to you. I don't really need to do anything today, but you can have injections if you want. And I actually let them do the injections because they do help clear up my vision a little more. And praise God. And, you know, the injections are unpleasant, but you do get accustomed to them after a while. I've had them done 8 times, so, you know, but but I was just really thankful and amazed. And I think the doctor was surprised, too. He was smiling. He was very upbeat. And I don't think he was expecting all of those blood vessels to just be gone, the ones that weren't supposed to be there. And I know it was the Lord who helped me. You see, that's a triumph. The Lord gives us triumphs. We need to keep trusting the Lord, keep praising the Lord, keep worshiping the Lord. And I want to praise the Lord for all that He has done for me. Praise God. I am so thankful. You know, last year when I was first diagnosed with diabetes, they said, you're on the verge of blindness. And I can still see over a year later, a little over a year now. It's at about 13 months now. But thank God I can still see, because I need my eyes to do my job. I want to be able to read this word. I want to be able to preach. So I do need my eyes. And of course, my blood sugar lately has been very good. It was 111 this morning, so praise God, the Lord has really helped me with that too. Oh yes, these are triumphs. And the Lord will give you triumphs. Sometimes they don't come immediately. Sometimes you have to fight a little bit, but He does bring the victory. Verse 4, for Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. Oh yes, His thoughts are deep. We can't even comprehend all of His thoughts, or even a small percentage of them. We need to remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the God who created this entire universe, Almighty God, a God without limitations, a God who knows everything, a God who sees everything. We can't comprehend all of His thoughts, but He does give us little pieces. And thankfully, we're still learning more about our Savior as we study this book. There's always more. And we go deeper and deeper and deeper into the Word. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. And that's true, too. Some people are foolish. They don't understand that there is a God in heaven, or at least they say they don't believe in God. And yet, why do they fight the God they don't believe in so much? If they really don't think he exists, why not just carry on without making such a ruckus and a fuss? I think part of the reason for that is deep down inside, everyone knows that there's a God, even if they don't want to admit it. And people, when they're not serving the Lord, are going to feel an emptiness and a void in their life. Because that is what we were made for. That is what we were created for. We were created to worship and praise the Lord. And that's another important reason for all of us to do that. Yes, it's a good thing to praise the Lord. Verse 7, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For how long? Forevermore. He's never not going to be the most high. He will always be the most high. He will always be Almighty God. There's never going to be another God that rises up and overthrows him. There was one angel who was designed and created by God. He was stupid enough to try, and he has been cast out of heaven. We know his name was Lucifer, and now he's known as Satan. But you cannot overthrow God, because the Lord is the Most High forevermore. Verse 9, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, and the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. And of course, the word horn there is referencing power and might and strength. And unicorn, that's not referring to the funny-looking horse with a weird horn sticking out of its forehead. And people, they laugh at the Bible sometimes. Oh, look at that. It's talking about unicorns, mythological animals. Well, believe it or not, and this shouldn't be hard to believe because animals do go extinct, there are several animals mentioned in the Bible that do not exist anymore. They did exist back there, and unicorn, I've heard some who believe that it was referring to a wild bull. But I've also read that there was a type of rhinoceros that had a single horn, and they called them unicorns. So it very well could be that it's referring to the rhinoceros, but I tell you what it's not referring to is that funny-looking horse. And then, you know, he supposedly can fly, and there's rainbows all over the place. No, no, no. That's not what the Bible is talking about here. Verse 10, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Yes, let the Lord plant you, and then you don't have to be moved by all the turmoil in this world. You can be a tree that is steady, that is firm, that is fixed upon the rock of our salvation. And you can be planted in the house of the Lord. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now that is a reason to praise the Lord. There is no unrighteousness in our God. In fact, he always does the right thing every single time. He has never made a mistake, and he never will. Let's look at Psalm 104 now. Psalm Psalm 104. And we're going to begin with verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. And yes, that is a good reason to praise the Lord. That is a good reason to worship the Lord. He is very great. And yet, despite that greatness, He has made Himself known to us. He has reached down from heaven for you, for me. He sought the lost sheep. He went looking for us. He called out to us. He reached out for us. Despite His greatness, He still takes the time to love each and every one of us on an individual level. Yes, you can know the Lord personally. But He is very great. O Lord, my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Yes, this psalm is talking all about the greatness of our God, all that He has done. And He, yes, He created this universe. He stretched out the heavens like a curtain. He designed this planet to be in the exact precise spot that it needs to be. He designed all the planets. He designed all the stars. He spoke everything into existence because that is the power of His voice. He made the clouds. And we know that He controls the wind. He made His angels. He made His angels, which are ministers. And they, of course, have a flaming fire. But He laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever. And you can look at that prophetically in this verse, because we know that the earth we're on right now isn't going to last forever, but the next one will. That next one will never end. That next one will not be infected by sin. Verse 6. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys, under the place which Thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. You know, when the Lord sets a boundary, no one can pass it. And He does that sometimes. Praise God. You know, back in the times of Genesis, when the whole world got together and just tried to have a one world government, and they built that big Tower of Babel, God, what did He do? He gave them all new languages. And they were scattered about. And then, as a little extra emphasis, He broke apart the one continent into several. And of course, that was called the Continental Drift. But at one point, there was just one landmass. And if you ever look at a map, you can see how all the pieces fit together. You can look at South America and see how we're attached to Africa. But God separated those, because God makes boundaries. And of course, we know that right now they're trying to overcome those boundaries. They want to set up a one-world government again. And of course, we know that the United Nations wants it by 2030, and I believe they are doing things to try to make that come about, but they're not the ones who have the final say in that, because God sets boundaries. Verse 9, Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. Yes, He even cares for the animals. He provides for their needs. He feeds them. He provides them water. And if He'll do that for the animals, why should we ever doubt that He'll do that for us? Verse 12, by them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. You know, it's nice to listen to the birds sing.
Yes, it is.
Praise the Lord. And some of those birds are just beautiful. And, you know, we like to put bird seed out in our front yard so that the birds will come. And sometimes we see something. They're very colorful. And sometimes we see species that we're not even familiar with. But there are many birds. And you can tell that God really enjoyed himself when he designed them. Oh, yes, it's pleasant to listen to them sing among the branches. Verse 13, he watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth and wine that maketh glad the heart of man and oil to make his face to shine and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Oh, yes, there's so many blessings, not just for the animals, but for people, too. God has so much for his people. And sometimes we get a little carried away with our worry, and we wonder, what are we going to do in the days ahead? Well, let's do what we've always done. Let's trust the Lord. He'll make a way. He'll make a way for his people. Look at all the great things that he has done. Yes, our God is very great. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. And of course, coney, that's a rock badger, in case you were wondering. But he made all of these animals. He gave them instincts. He talks to these animals. And these animals, a lot of times, are better at heeding and obeying the voice of God than people. Isn't that amazing? Verse 19, he appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Yes, the sun sets and the sun rises. It sets and it rises. It sets and it rises every day. And that will continue until the last day. And the reason the sun does that is because God designed it that way. People doubt that God created this earth, this universe, but we see so many witnesses to that fact. The sun rising and the sun setting is a witness of God's creative power. That didn't just happen to happen. It wasn't just some big cosmic accident. No, God created everything with a purpose. Verse 20, thou makest darkness and it's night, and it is night wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. You know, when people think of riches, they'll think of gold, silver, precious jewels, money, paper notes, or, you know, digits on a computer screen, which aren't even real. It's kind of an illusion, but yeah, you can spend them, but they don't really exist. It's funny how that works, but that's what people think of when they think of riches. But this chapter is talking about the real riches in this world, all of these things that God has done, all of these animals that he has created, all of these blessings that he has given his people, those are riches. And he has more for you too. He doesn't have just physical things. He has spiritual blessings for you, and those are the most important of all. Verse 25, so is this great and wild and wide sea wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. And that's true. You know, they're still finding new species in the ocean. Did you know that? They can't number them all. They don't even know what's down there when you get into the deep, deep depths of the sea, the deep, deep depths of the ocean. They occasionally find new species, but there's more there than they can count. And even just outside the sea, too, if you go down into the rainforest and so forth, there's a lot of little critters running around that hadn't been previously discovered. Yes, God has done so much more than we can comprehend. Verse 26, there go the ships, there is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. And remember I mentioned that there are animals mentioned in the Bible that are extinct, that don't exist anymore. And that shouldn't be a surprise because animals still go extinct from time to time, even in this world today. But Leviathan there, that's referring to some sort of a sea creature. The Bible also refers to it as a dragon or a snake. But it was something that dwelled in the sea, and obviously very large. A large aquatic animal, sometimes called a sea monster. But some have even theorized that it may have been a dinosaur. But what we do know is it's an animal that doesn't exist anymore. But it did back here. So, in case you were wondering about that, there's a little bit of a mystery to it. We don't know exactly what it looked like. How could we? They don't exist anymore, but it was a real thing back here. Leviathan. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. You know, what's really amazing about all of this is that He created it from the dust of the earth. And even us human beings are just dust that God took and shaped and molded and made something amazing out of. But we know that these bodies return to the dust one day. Thankfully, He has a new body for you. You will be transformed. You will be resurrected unto everlasting life. And for those who have gone on before us, they are waiting in spirit, because we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So those who have gone on, their spirits are already with God. But one fine day there will be a resurrection, and those who love the Lord will be reunited with their bodies, and their bodies will be glorified. Praise the Lord. Verse 30, thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. God's creative power is awesome. And you can look at this spiritually too. This verse 30. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. And we know that God comes into our lives. He gives us His spirit. His spirit dwells inside us. He makes His abode with His people, and we are created new. Though we were dead, we are made alive, and we are renewed. He renews our spirit. And our spirit is renewed when God renews His spirit within us. Verse 31. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. Yeah. You know, sometimes we get pretty massive earthquakes in this world, and they happen a lot. They happen so often now that nobody really talks about them anymore. And there's been many, even in recent months, but there's been so much attention on coronavirus that nobody talks about the earthquakes. But sometimes I wonder, you know, these earthquakes, maybe it's just God giving the plan a little nudge. Verse 32, He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills and they smoke. Verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Yes, that's what we need to do. Sing unto the Lord for as long as you live. And if you belong to the Lord, you're going to live a long time. Not in this world, but in the next. And we will have a wondrous and a glorious opportunity to worship Him for all eternity. Verse 34, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
Ah, yes, it's a good thing. A good thing to praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 107. And the Lord is the one we turn to in time of trouble. And we see a world today we're in is a lot of trouble. So the best thing you can do is turn to the Lord to seek His deliverance. But we need to be continually praising and worshiping our God. Psalm 107, verse 1 tells us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Yes, that's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to gather His people together. That is the work that He started on that cross, and that is the work He is still performing to this day, gathering His people from every corner of this earth, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west, from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And those are His redeemed. Verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Of course, we all know that there was a time in our lives when we knew there was something missing. Before we served the Lord, we knew there was something missing, but we were hungry. We were thirsty for something, and we didn't even know what that was until the Lord came and satisfied the longing of our souls, the longing of our spirits. Verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Are there any distresses today? Who is going to help us? Who can deliver us from those distresses? The Lord. It's always been the Lord. And we shouldn't be surprised that the condition of this earth seems to be deteriorating. The Bible said that would happen. But through it all, we serve a God who has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We serve a God who said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Verse 7. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That's always the appropriate thing to do. Even if it seems like everything in your life is going wrong, still praise the Lord. Verse 9, for He satisfieth a longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. You know, when we do the wrong things, there are consequences for that. When you're fighting against the Lord, there are consequences. When you're outside the will of God, there are consequences. But when you turn to the Lord and you seek His face and you seek to obey Him to the very best of your ability, that is when He delivers His people. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Some people refuse to do it. But oh, that men would praise the Lord. And that applies to women too. That applies to children too. We should all praise the Lord. That's a good thing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. You know, sometimes in this world, people are afflicted by God because they're not living right. And sometimes you're afflicted by other people because you are living right. But being afflicted by God is much worse. And we can overcome all these afflictions. And by God's power, by God's redeeming strength, He can lift us out of the deep miry clay. He can deliver us. He's the only one who can. So, what's the appropriate thing to do? Keep praising the Lord. Verse 18 tells us, "Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses." You know, the kindness and the long-suffering of God truly is amazing. People can make so many mistakes in life. They can do the wrong thing over and over and over again, and yet, if they humble themselves and cry out to God, He delivers them out of their distresses. You see that in Old Testament Israel, where these Israelites, they made so many mistakes. It was a vicious cycle. They kept making mistakes, assimilating with people around them, and serving false gods. But every time they turned to the Lord in repentance, He brought them out of their distresses, out of their troubles. He delivered them each and every time they repented. And that's the long-suffering of God. Verse 19, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. You know, we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore. You could never go back to that. But we still offer sacrifices of worship and praise. We put some effort into our worship and our praise. Sometimes you may feel like you're too tired. You may feel like you can't do it. You may feel like you don't want to worship the Lord sometimes, but do it anyway. Offer those sacrifices of praise and worship. And I tell you what, you might think, "Oh, I'm too tired. I'm too weary. I can't go on." But once you just start worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord, He will give you that strength you need to continue.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Verse 23, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord for His and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end." Have you ever felt like you're at your wit's end? What should you do if you ever feel like you're at your wit's end? What should you do when you don't know what to do? When you don't know where to turn? When you don't know where to go? Well, verse 28 is going to tell you, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And of course, we know our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He was in a boat one day with his disciples, and a mighty storm rose up. You know, sometimes the devil will send storms into your life to try to throw you off course. But we serve a God who has all power and all authority, and all he has to do is speak the words, "Peace be still," as the Lord Jesus did, and those storms will be calm. He knows how to calm a storm. And when you think about it, no one else can calm a storm. God is the only one who can do that. No one can make a storm go away except for our God. "He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven." Yes. What a thought. We all have a desired haven, don't we? And we know the one who can get us there. And we know that haven is not on this planet. It's not on this spinning ball that we all inhabit. But there is a haven of rest, a place of eternity where we can be in our Savior's presence forever. And he knows how to get you there. He knows how to get you through all of your distresses and get you to that haven. Verse 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." Yes, let's exalt the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. He's the one who's going to get us through the storm. He's the one who's going to get us to that haven of rest. Verse 33, "He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein." You have to wonder about some of these places that used to be fruitful, and now they're dried up in arid deserts. How did that happen? Well, they might say, well, it's climate change. No, it's wickedness that makes that happen. Verse 35, "He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low, the true oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh his families like a flock." You know, some people in this world are very wealthy. They have a lot of possessions, but that's all they're going to ever have if they don't know the Lord. I would rather be poor on this earth and rich in heaven. I would rather be a part of that flock that he is gathering together, that great shepherd and bishop of our souls. Verse 42, "The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Praise God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. He's the one who's going to get us through the storm. He's the one who's going to get us to that haven. Let's look at Psalm 145. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 1, tells us, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." Yes, do it every day. Praise the Lord every day. It's a good start to your day. It's a good finish to your day. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, that's how frequently you should praise the Lord. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You can't quantify it, can you? You can't sit down and figure out, oh, how much greatness is there? It's incalculable, even more so than the national debt. Verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Yes, we should be always ready to declare the greatness of our God. It is unsearchable. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Have you ever just been so happy in the Lord that you just started singing? Praise God. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's good to worship and praise the Lord. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. He's gracious, he's full of compassion, he's slow to anger. He gives people so many opportunities to repent. People have so many chances. And sometimes people squander those chances, but he gives us all an opportunity to come to him, an opportunity to know him, an opportunity to have a personal relationship with your Savior. Yes, we all have that opportunity. It's something we can all do because he is gracious, because he is full of compassion, because he is slow to anger and of great mercy. And yes, the Lord is good to all. You know, people get this notion in their head sometimes. They think, well, the Lord is looking for a reason to send me to hell. But actually, the opposite is true. He's looking for a reason not to. And that reason is always the blood of the Lord Jesus applied to your heart. That's what's going to keep you out of hell. Verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. A kingdom without end, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that we will enjoy and be a part of in heaven for all eternity. Verse 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. He can lift you up out of the depths of despair, even when no one else can. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Call upon him. Call upon him in truth. And when you do that, he is nigh. He is near. He is accessible. God is accessible right now, right here, today. Verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You know, we should praise the Lord every day, worship the Lord every day, and I hope that you enjoy praising and worshiping the Lord, because that's something that we're going to do forever and ever. Something we're going to do without end. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7 in closing. Revelation chapter 7, and starting with verse 1, it tells us, And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." You know, there's going to be a lot of hurt on this planet. It is eventually going to be completely and utterly destroyed. But before that happens, God is going to seal all of His people. And of course, we know the scriptures tell us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We will be sealed, we will be preserved, and we will survive. Praise God. Unlike this planet. Verse 4, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." And of course, we have to remember that much of what we read in the book of Revelation is symbolic. And here we see a symbolic number, 12,000 times 12,000. And it talks about these tribes. Verse 5, "Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now, as I said, this is a symbolic number. There's more than 144,000. And the reason we know that is because in verse 9 it tells us, "After this I beheld, and lo," watch this now, "a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." You see, it's not just talking about Jewish people there, but these are the people that God has saved, that God has rescued. And these names of these people, the 12 tribes of Israel, every name has a meaning. For example, Benjamin means son of my right hand or son of my joy. And when you get to heaven, you will be God's son of his right hand, son of his joy. All of these names will be applicable to you and all of his people. But you know what? When we get there, we're going to be praising the Lord. Praising the Lord for all eternity. We're going to be having a Thanksgiving celebration that never ends. And you won't even need a turkey. Praise God. Verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Oh, I hope you like praising the Lord. Because we're going to be doing that in heaven. "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Yes. He brings us through that tribulation. There we are on the other side. This is what we have to look forward to.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, it's a good thing to praise the Lord. And that's something we're going to be doing for a long, long time. For all eternity. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him for his goodness and for his compassion, for his long-suffering, and praise him for his salvation. We would all be so lost without him. So let's praise the Lord. Thank you, God. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done. We thank thee for thy mercy and thy grace and thy saving power, which has kept us and sustained us throughout all of this turmoil in the world. And we know, Lord, that thou wilt get us to that haven of rest. We firmly believe thy promises. We embrace thy promises. And Lord, we seek to please thee. We pray, Lord, that praise would be upon our lips each and every day. Praise of thy mighty and wondrous name. Let us glorify thee in all that we do, in our thoughts, in our words and interactions, Lord. We pray, O God, that thou would strengthen thy people and help us, O God, to walk with thee each and every day for the entirety of our lives. Help us to please thee and help us to serve thee so that we are able to dwell in thy presence for all eternity and be filled with that joy and that thanksgiving. We ask, O God, that thou would sustain thy people in these days ahead, and we pray, Lord, that thou would inspire us to worship thee and to praise thee each and every day. In Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood, amen. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a chorus in closing. If you can find your chorus book, let's turn to number 169. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. 169. Sing of mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of mercies of the Lord forever.
Forever I will sing. I will sing. you, Jesus. Praise God. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.